Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM, KMOX. Jeff Rainford and Kurt Barr are here, two of our regulars on the Think Tank. And, Jeff, I want to get to what you were just talking about in a minute, but we have a carryover segment where Wheeler on Stairway to Kevin talked about Brown University having a completely neutral political policy. Brown University will not take a stand pro-Trump or anti-Trump or pro-Gaza or anti-Gaza. And we talked about how it's probably because of the whole, like, F around and find out, and they don't want to become the new Harvard. And then I had a listener email me when I went back to my office quoting Edmund Burke, who said basically that for evil to flourish, all that is necessary is for good men to do nothing. And that therefore this person, I think his name was Will, thinks that universities, companies, individuals, families should always take a stand. Otherwise, we would not have taken a stand against Nazi genocide or women's voting rights and XYZ.
No, that's a great point. I mean, but you don't have to do that for everything. I mean, not everything is a great evil. Not that every issue is quote unquote. I mean, again, in a lot of people's eyes, evil's in the eye of the beholder. When it comes to day-to-day stuff, yeah, genocide's bad, right? Yeah, attacking someone because of their skin color, their sexual orientation, their gender, attacking anybody like that, that's all under the evil, right? That's all bad, and almost all schools have a policy on that. So I don't think that's wrong at all. I think that's 100% right. But that doesn't mean that the people that work at these places can't do that in their own time, too. I don't see why a school, which is an entity and not a person, has to take political sides. And again, it's one thing when we're talking about a major thing. You say, yes, Nazis are bad. Okay, good. Yes, we agree. Take a stand on that. Racism was bad. Well, is bad. But in the 60s, when civil rights was going on, action needed to be taken. You can take a stand. I don't know about that time. I don't know if universities, as an official policy, took stands on that. But I know that students did. I know that faculty did. I know that individual human beings did in great numbers, which is why the changes happened. So I understand the point, and I don't think it's irrelevant. It is. But we've gotten to a point where the schools are expected to take a stand on everything.
Well, I think that universities should be places where it is the administration's job to promote as much free speech as they possibly can. Now, I used to be a reporter, and I'm a First Amendment, almost absolutist. Now, the First Amendment does have exceptions.
Yes.
You cannot cry fire in a crowded theater. I can't walk up to you and say, I have a gun in my room and I'm going to go get it and kill you. But with the exception, that's probably where where the university does need to get involved is where the speech actually literally really crosses over into violence. You know, I do know there's people on the left who say words can be violent. No, words are not violent.
Right.
Violence is violent. So I think the university's job is to promote an environment, a campus, where the far left, the near left, the far right, the, you know, the people who believe in Mars, what, you know, life on Mars, whatever it is, that they promote a place where everybody can say what they want, and let's have a marketplace of ideas. And you, if you think that Nazism is a good idea, then let's hear your arguments, but let's also hear the arguments of the people who think that's a bunch of nonsense and you're covering up history. So I'm fine with a university administration, not professors and everybody else, an administration who says, well, we're going to be the people who make sure that everybody who wants to say their piece within the boundaries we talked about can say their piece, and we're not going to tell you what I think, because let me tell you, on college campuses, there are plenty of opinions. You don't need any more.
I absolutely agree that fair and full debate should be allowed, and that censorship is inherently problematic. But a business, a college, a trade association, they are made up of a lot of people. They're not a people. A government has a will. There's an executive, there's a legislative body, there's a majority, minority, and then there is a political will. We will go and fight the Nazis. We will go and stand against this evil. We will make these things legal, these things illegal. That's the role of a government. But for a business or an entity where you have multiple people, how can you say this is our will when in that you have, you know, people of different faiths, different origins, you know, different political persuasions? You know, in my office, yeah, we are a government entity, but we are, you know, I have Republicans and Democrats that work for me. We're not going to take a political stand in the election authority office saying this is the correct candidate who should win. This is the candidate who should not win. That would be horribly inappropriate for my office. But, you know, should I not take a stand? Who's the better person?
Like, do you, given that we seem to be an almost exactly 50-50 country, do you personally believe that when a president wins, a governor wins, an administration is put in place, that they have any sort of duty or obligation to govern from as close to the middle as they can come? Or do you think that they, if they have an agenda like MAGA, and they think that the left is completely wrong and ruining the country, that they have an obligation to do what they think is best?
So I think that the president of the United States is the president for all 300 million of us, including people who didn't vote for him, people who hate him, people who call him taco or whatever the new thing is. He's the president of everybody, and he has to govern from that. Now, having said that, when you are elected president, if you are Ronald Reagan, you got elected to do some stuff, and you go do it. And I respected Ronald Reagan as a politician, but I disagreed with most of what he did. But he can't please everybody. You tell people what you stand for, and then you go do it. What I don't like is when Hillary Clinton talked down to the whatever she said, the deplorables, or when Donald Trump talks down to a third or half of the country, that kind of thing. I think that is, you know, I think it's un-American. I think it's wrong. I will say this, it's free speech. I think he's one of the worst presidents ever, but I will always call him President Trump because he's the president. And it's not just respect the office. He's the person that was elected. I didn't want to elect him. If I could, I would have done everything I could to not elect him. But he is my president, and I am one of his constituents. I think it is whether you have a Democratic president or a Republican president, I think all 300 million of us should expect that he or she, or maybe in the future she, is our president, and he's my president, and I'm one of his constituents. And when he says I'm not, that's un-American, and it's wrong, and people rightly should stand up to that.
I think every person who's elected to office should do the best job they can in that position. And when I was a representative, I thought it was proper for me to make the best decisions that I could for the bills based on my values and philosophies that I told the voters, this is how I stand, as opposed to taking an opinion poll on every bill and then voting whichever way that poll turned out to be. Now, that being said, everybody is constrained within the realities of the world that they live in. They're, you know, the American system does not have dictatorships. No one person has all the power. So, you know, Governor Kehoe cannot, You know, there's questions of whether or not the special session that he just called for will actually get done what he wants to get done. You know, the governor has the power to bring the legislature back to Jeff City, say, hey, you guys got to take care of some stuff. But he can't force them to do that, or to do it in the way that he wants that to be the case. And so I think that, you know, our check and balance system is also just one of the things that makes America great. That, yes, we all should do the best that we can, but there is a reality of constraint because everybody else is also doing that same thing.
Well, real quick, to that point, I read from an anti-Trump Republican that 70% of the judicial decisions so far, which I guess aren't that many, but so far have been against the president, made by Trump appointees, which the argument made by this it was a New York Times columnist who is a conservative but is against Trump, is the judiciary, that Congress is not holding. Congress, the Republicans are sick of pants. But it seems like the judiciary is holding, including Trump appointees.
Do you think, like I read today, that Donald Trump is very angry with Amy Coney Barrett, and she's not standing up for him, she's not doing what he should be doing, and he's throwing a bit of a temper tantrum. And I felt a little bad for Donald Trump, because my intuition is that every president has privately felt like that. But Trump is just so, you know what he's thinking at every minute, that he gets a lot of blame from a lot of people like me who say, look at him, he's a man baby. He wants what he wants when he wants it. But don't you think the truth is every president's been like that in private?
So in private, complaining in private that I'm sure Richard Nixon was probably really bad at this, but I'm sure
we got
they
the tapes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they complain in private, but all I'm going to say is that it is hugely important that when a president appoints judges, that the judges uphold the law and the Constitution. Maybe it is the expectation, well, certainly the expectation of President Trump. He's not a constitutionalist. He's not a originalist. He's none of those things. He is, I appoint these judges and I want them to rule for me. Well, that isn't how it works. And that's why when I said that, according to this report, you know, 70% of the time the Trump judges are ruling against Trump, those of us who are less worried that our democracy is coming unwound should take some solace in that they are going to stand up to him. Now, that doesn't mean that conservative judges are going to rule the way Jeff Rainford wants. They see the world differently and the Constitution differently than me. But I still feel I feel way better about the judiciary than I do about Congress as far as standing up to this president. And I think that's, to Kurt's point, it's the balance of powers. Another reason why I'm still pretty comfortable that our democracy is going to be just fine.
I mean, historically, you look at FDR. He tried to expand the size of the Supreme Court because they kept on striking down his New Deal deals. So this is not a brand new thing. Historically, I mean, a lot of presidents have appointed members. Bush appointed Souter, the first Bush appointed Souter, and he was, you know, a very progressive Republican at best. And I know, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, there's a lot of disappointment of conservatives over Justice Souter and the rulings that he made. And so this is not a new thing for the executive to say, hey, this other branch isn't doing things the way I want them to do. But again, we have that check and balance system. The three branches are co-equal so that, you know, they can check each other in their power.
Any thoughts?
No, it's the way it's supposed to be, except there's one branch that's kind of not doing that.
Yeah. Which is why we have it set up that way. We are prepared for a Donald Trump. We should be prepared for a Donald Trump. I mean, I think the founding fathers probably pictured way worse than Donald Trump. They were picturing kings and, you know, people who were truly trying to take over or another revolution. So,
well, the reason we are in this pickle that we're in, and not everybody obviously listening and not everybody in the country thinks we're in a pickle, but I think we are. But one of the reasons we're in the pickle is because the Democratic Party, it didn't shoot itself in the foot. It shot itself in the head. And I actually kind of predicted it when Trump won. I started seeing the reaction to that being really, really far, far out there left. And then when Biden won, and Biden only won because the people were exhausted with Trump, there was no mandate for Biden, and the party went even farther left and made all kinds of unforced errors and then covered up for his cognitive decline. We put ourselves in a position where today we have no ability to push back on him at all. But I will say this, there's starting to be some thinking going on. There's this new book, Abundance. There's starting to be some thinking going on that we got to get away from the woke stuff and all the transgender sports, and we've got to start addressing middle class, working class, and low income people, their economic conditions, their economic worries, things like infrastructure. Instead of high speed rail taking 87 years to get past because there's a snail darter somewhere, we got to get past all that. I think Democrats are finally starting to have a little bit of a reckoning. And if you listen to this podcast by Governor Newsom, all of a sudden he sounds like a moderate. I don't think it's impossible that the Democratic Party will be able to rally in time. I don't think it's impossible that we will probably be able to rally by the next election. But right now, we are not an opposition party, so he gets to run roughshod over the country.
Yeah, I believe everything you're saying, but yeah, we'll take a break right here, Rach. But it also makes me think, yeah, but you're just leaving out what you know is not popular, which I know is what a campaign is. I mean, I know that that's in essence what we're doing. But when you know that a certain person, candidate, party believes those things, they're just not telling you. It's even scarier to me because now you're just going to get in and then you're going to Trojan horse me. Welcome back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
As DG, as 104.1 FM KMOX, doing the Think Tank with Jeff Rainford and Kurt Barr. We do it every Tuesday. Then on Thursdays, we have Mike Elam on the conservative side. On Fridays, we have Alvin Reed on the more moderate Democrat side. Alvin, we just mostly talk baseball with Alvin, right? I mean, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. We only have a couple minutes, Jeff, but it's yours because when you came in, you said that you have some hope that there could be some changes in the safety of downtown, given all the changes that have happened with the police force.
Yeah, so I am a big proponent, big supporter of Chief Tracy and a big supporter of our circuit attorney, Gabe Gore. I think they both are law enforcement professionals. They, you know, they may support, you know, social services and other things, but that's not their job. Their job is to enforce the law. And I think they are both good at it and want to do it. And Chief Tracy, there has been a reduction in the city in homicides, and he's done some other things. But one of the failures in the Jones administration and the police department has been downtown. And downtown today, let's just keep it simple, it is people feel dangerous downtown. They do. My wife's on the library board. She will not come down to a library board meeting alone. I go down with her because she's afraid to come down alone. That should not be the case. But we have a lot different political situation for the police department. First of all, Kara Spencer is the new mayor. She's already doing a bang up job that, you know, I can tell so far in the tornado. And I think she'll be more law and order on the police. And Although I opposed it, we now have state control, which means the governor, who's a Republican and conservative, is going to appoint the police board. And so I think that if there were political reasons why the police pulled their punches downtown, those reasons are gone. And if I were downtown interests and business interests and residential interests downtown, I'd be, you know, talking to the chief and the prosecutor and the governor and saying, okay, let's get back to doing what we need to do. We need a strong downtown for a strong city and a strong region. And you guys are the, you know, the tip of the spear.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, guys.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.